alertness, the Pali word is sampajanya, has a very special meaning when you're meditating. It means specifically being alert to what you're doing. And for a lot of people, that's something very difficult. To focus on things outside, what other people are doing. And the reaction seems to just come up on its own from within. And they don't usually ask questions about how much they're playing a role in all of this. And as a result, they end up causing themselves a lot of suffering. Cause a lot of suffering for people around them as well. It's a basic part of the training in terms of generosity, virtue, meditation, is becoming more sensitive to your own actions. It's interesting to note that when the Buddha starts out talking about the principle of action, he does it in the context of two particular types of action, gratitude and generosity. Because what does gratitude mean if not realizing that the people who have helped you made choices? It was their choice to help. Their choice to do the right thing. And you value that. If you value that in other people, it means it's more likely that you'll start valuing it in yourself as well. This is why gratitude is such a huge theme in the Buddha's teachings. And then there's generosity. And the teaching on generosity is not that you just give up, give up, give up, or give away, give away, give away. It means that there's always a trade. You always get something in return. And the better the gift, the better the return. The purpose of this is that you're more likely to give of yourself, put out the effort. And the Buddha wants you to be more sensitive to just that, the ways in which you're generous and the things you get back from your generosity. When you begin to see the connection, that's when you start understanding the principle of action. And when your alertness is going to get stronger. Then he moves on to the precepts. You have to be alert to what you're doing if you're going to stick with the precepts. You can't just make a promise to yourself and then trust that it's going to happen on its own without your paying any attention. You promise you're not going to kill anything, okay? Watch yourself. No stealing, no illicit sex, no lying. No intoxicants. The one on lying is particularly subtle because there are so many little ways that we misrepresent the truth. So you've got to be especially careful there. And as you watch over your speech, and you begin to see that when you are very careful about what you say becomes more worth listening to. People will start listening to it more. And you begin to see the effect of what energy you put into the system. How it comes back. And this makes you more sensitive to the speech inside the mind. After all, the Buddha said, when we talk, it comes from two mental qualities, directive thought and evaluation. And these are precisely the things we're working on as we meditate. You focus your thoughts on something, and then you watch it, you evaluate it. This is how alertness moves inside the mind. When you think of the breath in a particular way, when you focus on it in a particular way, what happens? And you look carefully at this, the more time you spend looking at it, the more you begin to realize that some aspects of the breath can be affected by your present intention, and there are some things that you can't change. But that can be learned only through practice, coming back again and again and again to the breath. But it's important, because the more sensitive you are to how you do things, the better the results are going to be. And John Fuhr once mentioned to me that when he was teaching meditation, many times people would come up with weird things happening in their meditation, strange sensations in their bodies, difficulties that he said he himself had never encountered. But he found that those seven steps at the beginning of Method 2, in John Lee's Keeping the Breath in Mind, were a good guide to how to deal with anything that comes up in concentration practice. So it's useful to go back and look at them every now and then and measure your meditation against those seven steps to see if something's lacking. Two of the important principles there are, one, getting a sense of the whole body, and as you work towards that by going through the body section by section. So that, as he says, the whole body becomes a breath sensation, or connected breath sensations. That's the direction you want to work in. Because otherwise, when the breath gets very subtle and your concentration is beginning to settle in but hasn't really settled down, when things start getting subtle, the breath can seem to disappear, or you lose track of it, or because the mind isn't constantly monitoring what's going on outside, it begins to get blurry, and all kinds of random thoughts. The synapses start firing in your mind, and weird things come up, and you can easily get distracted. So there are two paradoxical ways of dealing with this. One is to broaden your sense of awareness, so even when the breath gets very subtle, you've got the sense of the whole body to stay focused on. This is your frame of reference. You want to keep it large. It has a tendency to shrink. So you have to keep reminding yourself, whole body in as you breathe in, whole body as you breathe out. But that too can get blurry. So you have to balance it with a sharp focus. John Lee lists seven spots, what he calls resting spots, for the breath and the body. They're kind of like nodes. A lot of them correspond to the chakras. Which seem to be connected to what they call breath channels. And you can sense them. You focus in on one of them and it seems to spread from that spot to fill out other things as well. You're in touch with one spot, but it helps connect you to a lot of other parts of the body. The point just above the navel, the tip of the sternum, the base of the throat, the palate, the middle of the head, the top of the head. Choose any one of these spots that you find most congenial and settle in. And be very careful to notice that spot. Another way of developing this quality of being clearly focused is to go through the whole body in a lot of detail. And again, this is another way of dealing with that middle zone as the mind is beginning to settle down. Go through the whole body, taking a very precise survey. The tip of each finger, then the next joint of each finger, then the next joint, then up through the palm of the hand, the back of the hand, your wrist, the forearm. Try to be very, very precise. And then once you've been through the body a couple times, then you can settle down. Choose one spot and make that your home base. And then from there, think of the sense of awareness spreading out to fill the whole body. So you have both the broad range and the sharp focus. When you can keep the two of these balanced, okay, then you find the the mind will really settle down. It's like you've tied all of its hands, all of its feet, so it can't grab this or grab that. You're right here in the present moment. Both with a sharp focus and with that broad sense of awareness. So you get both meanings of the word egagata, one-pointedness and singleness as a whole. And when you get both of those qualities together, then you can get past that middle range and settle into fixed penetration. So this is how you ride herd on your mind as you're trying to get it to settle down. So it has that sense of expansiveness, which is one of the really enjoyable parts of right concentration. And it also has a clarity of very sharp focus. You're going to need both if you want your concentration to form a good foundation for insight. And getting them balanced is one of the important first steps in using your insight, using your alertness to make your concentration right.